Hello, everyone. It's Steve Baker with another 5 in 10. Now, before I get started, please don't forget to like this video and follow my Rumble channel or wherever else that you're listening to this podcast. And this is for all the reasons that everybody always says. Those likes, those follows, and of course, those 5-star ratings on Apple iTunes, they really help. You know the drill. Okay, I'm sorry I wasn't able to get to a 5 in 10 yesterday. It was quite a day. The morning began with really great news, working towards the launching of my big story that I've been working on for over 9 months and have been talking about publicly now for a couple of months. Then, of course, I had to watch the Christopher Wray grilling by the Weaponization Committee on Capitol Hill. Then later in the afternoon, there was something of a body blow after learning about the Department of Justice and that slimy bastard Assistant U.S. Attorney Jeffrey Nessler having filed an appeal in the U.S. District Court of D.C. to challenge the sentencing of the Oath Keepers that had been handed down by Judge Maeda back in May. It appears that they were not happy with the hanging judge's sentences, Maeda having handed down the lengthiest sentences of all the D.C. January 6th judges. They've decided, I guess, that he just didn't hang them high enough. After reading about that appeal, I just closed my laptop and I couldn't work anymore for the rest of the day. But anyway, let's get started. Number one, as I mentioned, the Oath Keeper sentences have been appealed. Judge Maeda, the D.C. hanging judge, apparently did not meet the DOJ's expectations in the sentences he handed down. They have appealed those sentences given to 7 members of the Oath Keepers, including the founder, Stuart Rhodes, for their alleged actions on January 6th. Of course, the reason why I still say alleged is because I still stand by the assertion that these many months later that the Oath Keepers were railroaded. They were patsies. They were the scapegoats of a government that needed the image of a scary-looking bunch of guys and gals in military-style get-ups as the face of January 6th. They also needed to send a message to others who might have the same desire to be part of any organization with the intentions to keep and maintain their oaths to the Constitution, that it's best just to stay home after your service in the military or in law enforcement. Let's let the younger recruits who we've successfully brainwashed in the education system handle everything from now on. And you just keep your mouth shut. No more of this revolutionary America's founding style rhetoric, or you'll really be in a lot of trouble. Whatever the Oath Keepers might have been guilty of, it certainly wasn't the charges most of them were convicted of. Did you know that those who went inside the Capitol weren't even charged with the basic trespassing misdemeanor? I mean, why give a potentially sympathetic DC juror the option to look at anything resembling a rational charge? So they're having their sentences appealed by the prosecution? The Department of Justice does, in fact, have legal standing to appeal sentences when they feel that they weren't stern enough. They cannot retry a case because that would be double jeopardy. But if they feel like the sentencing guidelines were not met or followed, as they are claiming in the case with Judge Maeda's Oath Keeper sentences, then they can make that appeal. In Stuart Rhodes' case, the Department of Justice was asking for 25 years, but Maeda only gave him 18. In the case of Kenneth Harrelson, as another example, they were seeking 15 years and Judge Maeda only gave him 4. And that's just 2 out of the 7 examples. Of course, the judge did say in Harrelson's sentencing hearing, and this is pretty close to an exact quote, he said, "Mr. Harrelson, I don't think that you are the man the government has made you out to be." And based on the presentation that Harrelson's attorney made in that trial, which was quite effective, I believe that Maeda extended appropriate mercy given the expectations and political pressures that he was certainly facing during that trial. Of course, Ken should have been sent home to his family right then and there. He is an innocent man after all. Anyway, this appeal angered me, but it also steeled my resolve to get my coming stories out. As far as I'm concerned, it's time to go to war with the Department of Justice and get the truth out that was not allowed in those trials. And believe me, it's coming. Number 2, FBI Director Christopher Wray was grilled yesterday by the House Select Committee on the weaponization of government agencies against the American people. Now, I could spend an hour on this hearing, but let me synopsize thusly. I can't remember ever hearing more lies and obfuscations told over a 5-hour period. How do I know they were lies? Because many of the issues addressed yesterday are matters that I've been closely investigating. For instance, Ray refused to answer questions about how many FBI assets were on the ground on January 6. This is despite the fact we have reams of evidence that the FBI had numerous other three-letter agencies' tactical units and the U.S. Army Special Forces embedded or positioned around the Capitol. The technical term is that they had those agencies seconded to them. I wish I could have been feeding questions to the Congress members who were asking these questions. First of all, I'd have made that aforementioned point and asked Ray why so much firepower was there if they weren't anticipating the scope of what the riot and the melee ended up being that day. Next, I'd have asked why they were not used in helping the Capitol Police stop the breaches and control the crowd and protect the Capitol. Then I'd ask why they weren't used to actually prevent the breach of the Capitol building itself. Finally, I'd ask how the deployment of military special forces wasn't a violation of posse comitatus laws. Representative Andy Biggs tweeted during the hearing that FBI Director Ray just told me he does not believe there were any undercover FBI agents in or around the U.S. Capitol on January 6. This claim has already been debunked, including by the former U.S. Capitol Police Chief. Ray will be held accountable for this lie. Well, we'll see. FBI whistleblower Steve Friend pointed out in a tweet that Ray's claim that special agents did not conduct surveillance of school boards was a blatant lie. Friend said, "The Joint Terrorism Task Force in my office did that. I testified about the details in May." Representative Mike Johnson from Louisiana, he grilled Ray on FBI pressure on social media companies to suppress speech, to which Ray uttered the most brazen lie of the day, saying, "The FBI is not and has never been in the business of policing or investigating speech." It's as if we've never heard out of Mark Zuckerberg's own mouth that he caved to the FBI pressure, and he said this on Joe Rogan. And then, of course, we've never seen or read the Twitter files and their revelations about FBI and CIA involvement in suppressing speech there, not to mention the hundreds of messages and scary words and comments made by those oath keepers in their trial, which had nothing to do with January 6, believe me. And these were all presented by FBI agents in that trial to prejudice the jury against those men and women. Committee Chairman Jim Jordan said, "When the court says the FBI misled, that's a nice way of saying they lied. They lied, and as a result, important information was kept from we the people days before the most important election we have, the election of the President of the United States. American speech is censored. Parents are called terrorists. Catholics are called radicals. And I haven't even talked about the spying that took place on a presidential campaign or the raiding of a former president's home." There was so much more in this hearing. Ray's smug nature reminded me of Anthony Fauci. Remember, Fauci said he is the science? Well, Ray acted like he is the law. Now, the question is, will Congress actually do anything about these lies? Interestingly, the FBI's social media team was tweeting and attempting to cover for Ray's lies in real time as the hearing progressed yesterday. Number three, and speaking of the FBI and speech suppression, the Federalist released a story on Monday about the FBI colluding with a Russian-infiltrated agency in Ukraine to censor Americans. I'm like, what? According to the report, House investigators have exposed the FBI's cooperation with foreign agents to orchestrate online censorship. They said, "The committee's analysis of these disinformation registries revealed that the FBI, at the request of the Security Service of Ukraine, or SBU, flagged for social media companies the authentic accounts of Americans, including a verified U.S. State Department account and those belonging to American journalists. At times, the FBI would even follow up with the relevant platform to ensure that these accounts were taken down." Now, the FBI and the SBU reportedly sent massive spreadsheets that contained thousands of accounts for censorship to Meta, Facebook's parent company. The FBI also facilitated the SBU's request for censorship on Alphabet platforms, in other words, Google and YouTube. Posts flagged for removal were often supportive of Ukraine and critical of Putin. Remember what I said just a few minutes ago, that Director Ray's biggest lie yesterday was that the FBI is not in the business of policing speech? And I've been harping on this for weeks, saying that the number one domestic threat that we now face is is the left's attacks on our free speech? Well, they're doing it, and they are blatantly lying about it and sticking those lies right in our faces. Number four, activist Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson claimed that for high-risk black newborns, having a black physician more than doubles the likelihood that the baby will live and not die. Now, she wrote this in her written dissent about the Supreme Court's recent striking down of affirmative action. From David Kroom of the Daily Call-Out, he responded that this citation was taken from an amicus brief from the Norton Rose Fulbright Law Firm. Since the ruling, the firm has gone on the record and stated that that statistic she quoted was either misunderstood or invented. In other words, not true. In addition, the term high risk was nowhere found in that brief. Justice Jackson, who is clearly an affirmative action and DEI appointment of the Biden administration, is just another one of those liars. Number five, the Secret Service has concluded its White House cocaine investigation with no suspects identified. The Secret Service claims that there were no fingerprints, that there was insufficient DNA samples, and no security video of whoever might have left the bag of cocaine. In an agency statement, the Secret Service said, without physical evidence, the investigation will not be able to single out a person of interest from the hundreds of individuals who passed through the vestibule where the cocaine was discovered. At this time, the Secret Service's investigation is closed due to a lack of physical evidence. And there you have it, the most secure building in the world, and they can't produce any evidence of who brought in that bag of coke or who discarded it. I think you'll remember, as former Secret Service agent Dan Bongino tweeted out, there's absolutely zero chance anyone other than a family member brought that cocaine inside the White House complex. No chance that it would make it past the MAG security checkpoints. Only family bypasses those. Okay, let's just wait and see what the next cover-up of the Biden crime family syndicate is by our own federal agencies. That's it for today. Please consider joining my Locals community, where I share content I don't put out anywhere else. It is free to subscribe, but for as little as $5 per month, you can help me in my continued and ongoing investigations into government weaponization, as well as these January 6th stories that are in the pipeline right now. I promise you, it's going to be worth the wait. Simply go to tpc4usa.com. That's TPC, the number 4usa.com. Or from your app store, download the Locals app and then search for at tpc4usa. You can also find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Truth Social with the same handle, at tpc4usa. Thanks so much for joining me today, and I will see you again tomorrow or very soon with another 5 and 10.